军的军营中的那些国家，他们就是那种国家松解。
So, in terms of extracting the actual essence, it is taught under three headings. First one, the teaching in common to the lowest school person to derive higher birds, and the teaching common to the middle school person. And the third, the exclusively the Mahayana teachings.So the Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was teaching the Four Noble Truths, he taught about 16 attributes, four to each of the four different truths. So the Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was teaching the entire Buddhist doctrines, he was talking about the four axioms, how all composite things are impermanent, and how every permanent, impermanent phenomena are of suffering nature, and how everything is of nature of selflessness and empty, and how the cessation, the traversing beyond a sorrow, how the state beyond sorrow is the ultimate peace and happiness.So most of the problems that we face in this world, they are primarily derived through thinking, through taking for granted that all those impermanent, though impermanent, taking for granted that they are permanent or they are eternal by nature. So it is because of this that it is very important to reflect on the impermanent nature of everything. And also it is very important to thinkof this subtler aspect of the impermanence. So because if you put it in the form of syllogism, we say that something is impermanent because that is produced. So because when we think about this production, the quality of the production of something, so that has the connotation of positiveness.That, and whereas if you think of impermanence, so it has the connotation, it has the impression that from the negative side, that it ceases. So although in a very superficial way, when we think of production, it has the connotation of something positive, something coming to being, something arising.And whereas when you think of the impermanence, it gives you the impression of a negative phenomena, that is, it ceases. So when you think of impermanence, we see that whatever thing that you take into consideration as an example, so that thing which is produced and then eventually ceasing,So that cessation or that degeneration occurs because of the degeneration occurring at a very momentary instances or momentary way. So the impermanence which can be understood at two levels.The gross level of impermanence and the subtle level of impermanence. So the gross level could be understood as the impermanence of death and impermanence of the continuity. So if you reflect well, that very evidently seen gross level of impermanence, so that cannot be feasible if there is no momentary changes involved.So we do can easily understand the impermanence or the transitoriness occurring at the level in terms of the whole year or in terms of a month or in terms of a day like that. But these gross level of impermanence, in order for that to be possible, in order for that to be feasible, they must involve the process of the subtle momentary changes involved. So as such, Through reflecting as to how this gross level of impermanence is possible, we must take into consideration the subtler level of impermanence. So when we speak about the subtler level of impermanence, so we'll come to the conclusion that it is that very cause which is responsible for seizing that very object, for degenerating that very object. So just as we say that this production is produced because of that cause, so here we see how that result is dependent on that cause. It's not something independent. It is entirely dependent on its causes. And in this context of the teaching, context in terms of the five contaminated aggregates, so we see that these five aggregates, they are undergoing momentary changes. So these aggregates, they are actually the product of the ignorance of grasping mind and the delusions. And this very ignorance or the delusions, they have a connotation of unauspiciousness. And because that these five aggregates, contaminated five aggregates that we are in possession of, they are dependent on those negative emotions, those ignorance and so forth. As such, it is not something independent. It is of the nature of suffering. As such, we see that since these contaminated aggregates, they are not actually independent in nature, they are dependent on the respective causes. In this context, the delusions and ignorance, as such, it is not independent, it is dependent. It is absent of independent mode. As such, we say that things and events, or whatever is impermanent, it lacks independent mode, or is of the nature of emptiness. So because of knowing that those contaminated or defiled states of the mind, they have no valid basis, and whereas the virtuous consciousnesses, they have the proper basis, valid basis. As such, we can see that those negative emotions which are grounded on the mistaken attitudes, mistaken mind, they can be eradicated, they can be seized. And the virtuous thoughts can be enhanced indefinitely. So, because of understanding this substance, the third axiom, which says that everything is of the nature of empty and selflessness. So because of understanding that, you can eventually eradicate those ignorance, apprehending the self-nature of things and events, and then we'll lead ourselves to the state of the ultimate good that is beyond sorrow. That forms the fourth axiom, that traversing beyond sorrow is peace and happiness. So we see that because of our attachment to one's own side, yourself and to your own side, because of that, then you tend to actually engage in all kinds of negative actions which would bring about happiness to your side and which would bring about unfortunate things towards the other side. So all these negativities, all these problems, they are caused by this sense of permanence and not reflecting on the impermanence of death. And whereas, contrary to this, if you reflect on the impermanence of death, naturally you can think, it'll come to your mind on reflecting to the next life. So, after reflecting on the next the rebirth and so forth, naturally then you will think about the pleasurable and the unpleasurable experiences that are bound to occur in the next lifetimes. And then this in turn will naturally lead you to thinking about the virtuous causes or taking keen interest in virtuous causes which are responsible for bringing about the pleasurable experiences in the next lifetime, and not being in favor of those unvirtuous attitudes and unvirtuous actions which are responsible for the suffering nature, the suffering experiences in the next lifetimes. So as such, naturally your whole life will be permeated with the desire to engage in the virtuous actions and shunning the unvirtuous actions. This way, you see that your whole life will turn out to be useful and meaningful. So let me read through the text. Actual way of taking its essence of this life, a precious human birth, comprises of three subheadings. Training the mind in the stages of the path common to lesser beings, training the mind in the stages of the path common to intermediate beings or the middling beings, and training the mind in the stages of the path of great beings. The second one is 3 points, training the mind in the stages of the path common to lesser beings, and three. And the first one, that is small scope. Explanation of the stages of the path common to lesser beings. It is three subheadings. The actual training in the contemplations of lesser beings, the gauge of those contemplations having arisen, third, clearing up misconceptions about them. The first one has 3 points. The first of those 2 points, developing a mental attitude of interest in future worlds and relying on the methods for the happiness of future worlds. The first one has 2 points, being mindful of death, a thought that one is not going to stay in this world for long, and what things will be like in future existences, thinking of the happiness and suffering of the two kinds of migrating beings. First, explanation of how to be mindful of death, that one will not stay in this world for long. The first of those has 4 points. The disadvantages of not cultivating mindfulness of death. The advantages of cultivating it, what kind of mind that is mindful of death is generated, and how to cultivate mindfulness of death. First, although in all of us there is the thought that at the end of our days, death will come, every day we think, I'll not die today. Today, I'll also not die. That way, even right until we are about to die, the mind holds on to the idea that we are not going to die.